We're going to look now at how golf business leaders feel about the opportunities and challenges of 2017. EMEA is a C-suite level intelligence network consisting of about 100-odd regional CEOs, and they've just had their quarterly private strategy meeting where they sit down and share all of their strategic secrets, how they're feeling about what's going on. And in the studio to tell us what's on their minds is EMEA founder and chief executive Trevor McFarlane. Trevor, lovely to have you back with us.
It's always great to be here, Brandy. Good morning.
And it's great to have an insight as to how these decision makers are thinking and feeling. Broad brush strokes, what is the outlook amongst the people making decisions for these big companies for 2017?
If I could sum it up in one word, it would be heptadecaphobia. Now, exactly. What does that mean? Heptadecaphobia is the fear of the number 17, and I think it's quite appropriate as we look down the barrel of 2017, because for most of our members, and as you rightly described, are the regional boss of multinational companies or family trade and businesses. We have a lot of government-related entities as well. And broadly speaking, it depends what organization, what industry, but there's still a fair level of anxiety about 2017. I think for the vast majority of companies, they had a tough year in 2016, primarily driven what has happened in Saudi. And there is an expectation by a lot of their bosses, so the global HQ or the board, that automatically 2017 will be better because there's this bounce back effect because you had a bad year in 2016. And talking to a lot of our guys, our members, they're saying that's not necessarily the case. We're not guaranteed of that, primarily because of what's happening globally. There's a lot of uncertainty, as you guys talk about so eloquently each morning, with Trumponomics, with Brexit, with the elections in Europe, with the oil prices, a lot of things that could feed into our economy in this part of the world.
Okay, well, let's have a look at some of the numbers for this part of the world. We heard yesterday from Sheikh Ahmed bin Zayed Al Maktoum that the Dubai economy is set to grow by 3.1%. The IMF's just cut its forecast for Saudi Arabia down to less than half a percentage point. What's expected to be tricky? What's expected to flavour this year in those countries?
Yeah, so look, when you look at 2017, again, I would stress it depends on which sector and organisation. But I think broadly speaking, for the companies at least, you're looking at around 20% of our members will actually, they expect to decline by different rates, but when we aggregate that data, they expect a decline in 2017. Now, the majority of our members expect to grow between 5 and 9%, which isn't too bad. Part of the problem is, Brandy, over the years, it's actually a very respectable growth rate in terms of a bottom line growth for a company. Part of the problem is we've been spoiled in this part of the world, and multinationals and family trading companies are used to seeing high double digit growth rates, and we have to understand that there's a business cycle and we'll work our way through this, and this is just another business cycle, and hopefully towards the end of the year we start to see more momentum.
We get a lot of people coming to the studio saying that business this year will be flat at best. So what sort of industries are they in that they're getting 7 to 9%?
Well, our guys are across all different industries, so across the whole gamut of different companies. But the companies, if I were to be more specific, the companies that are performing better around healthcare, education are doing okay. The companies, now there's price pressures within that. I think the big reason around 2016 was Saudi Arabia. Some of our members were down 30 or 40% in Saudi Arabia, primarily because of the spending issues, and the governments basically stopped paying a lot of the private sector. Now, just as a side point on that, because I think it's very interesting and it's critically important for the economy and for businesses looking at Saudi in 2017, is that 60% of our members have now, we asked them on the day through the strategy survey, have seen some form of loosening up of payments in Saudi Arabia. So that could be directly or indirectly, i.e. through suppliers or partners and so on. So we're starting to see that money come true. And one other thing I'd say, Malcolm, is our previous briefing on November 22nd, where we hosted His Royal Highness Prince Saud bin Khalid Al Faisal, the acting governor of the Saudi Arabian General Investment Authority, he also stressed that this is an issue that is sorted and is coming to an end. So that's really important.
Let me just confirm that I understand this picture, that most of your members, really, with big exposure to Saudi Arabia, very poor performance there last year. This year, the 7-9% growth will reflect an improvement on that poor year, rather than the fact that to get sort of 7-9% bottom line growth, they've let a lot of people go, for instance.
This is a fair point. So in 2016, around 40% of our members had what we deemed as significant. Now, significant, of course, is subjective to different companies, but how we described that was basically that it would have an impact on your operations as you would see it. So that's a big chunk of a chunk of companies that have downsized or right-sized, or let's put it the way it is, have laid people off. Now, what's interesting is for 2017, for this year, it's only 1%. It's minimal. So the majority of them feel like this is being done, and they've got their companies where they need to be. Now, one other point I would stress is that one of our partners, Aon Hewitt, who we partner with because they're experts in human capital, they made a great point on the day, and that was that, you know, a lot of their clients that they deal with, they feel that they were surprised by the results because they feel that there's still quite a lot of restructuring going on.
Yeah, I would question that. I mean, if 1% of your CEOs think they might be laying off this year, I mean, we had the executives from Hazen here the other day, and I know from their 2016 survey at the beginning of the year, 11% of their clients thought that they would be laying people off. By the end of the year, 36% had. It doesn't always go the way you think it's going to go.
That is a fair point. The one thing I would say is, and I'm not speaking to Hayes or any other organisation, but, you know, these surveys are done at a certain time. Our survey is done on the day. This was done on Sunday with 100 plus guys in a room there and then. So it is a snapshot, and these are, I would stress, very key decision makers.
How much did the O word come up, oil? Are they very keen on whether the cartel holds? Because the reports out that Russian oil production is expected to reach another post-Soviet record high this year, and record production out of Libya, Iran, Iraq and Nigeria could act against the sort of reduction in production.
This, I would say, Malcolm, you're right to bring up, is one of the key issues on the top of their mind. So at the briefing on November 22nd, we asked, what are the big concerns for you in 2017 in terms of having an impact on your business? And the number one was another decline in the oil price. So if we kind of go back rather than forward that we're currently experiencing.
Trevor, just before we let you go, you were in the studio earlier when we were discussing the, I want to call it the ladies' lounge rather than the girls' lounge, at Davos, and the lack of women on boards and in C-level positions. Is this an issue for your members? And in fact, how many of your members are women?
This is a great point. We've actually spoken about this at one of the briefings. Very few, very few. I can picture, out of 100 in the room off the top of my head, you know, maybe 8 or 9, right? So that's not a lot. Now, interesting, when we spoke about it, a lot of the regional directors have that on their scorecard, right? So they're actually marked or ranked by how they're bringing women through the ranks. And I think it's, you know, we all talk about this, and sometimes there's a lot of useless platitudes, but it's critically important, not just for businesses, but for society, right? Because if the board is made up by men, the board picks the CEO, and we're all inclined by choosing someone that we see as similar.
It reminds us of us.
It reminds us of us, exactly. And I think that has a negative impact throughout society, because these companies make really important decisions. Like, if it had been Lehman Sisters, as is often said, would we have ended up where Lehman Brothers ended up?
Well, thanks for joining us very much this morning. Unfortunately, we have to let you go at 7:30. EMEA founder and chief executive Trevor McFarlane, we appreciate your time.